Thank you, Shelley. Let's stand together, please, for just a second and turn to Luke chapter 15. Say, we've been turning these verses for 6 weeks. This is the last week. There's a lot in this story, and I want to kind of end it up this morning. Luke chapter 15. We'll read several sections of verses. We'll skip a few here or there. Luke chapter 15 and verse 11 says, this, of course, is the story of the prodigal son again. It said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the wine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Skip down to verse 21, please. But the father said to his servants, this is after the son comes into his right mind and comes home, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Go down to verse 28. This is the brother. And he was angry and would not go in to the party they were throwing. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It is meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive and was lost and is found. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these few minutes we have together. We pray you'd bless as we kind of put a bow on this series that we've been going over. And I pray that you'd help us to get the message today. Help us to learn what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We've been looking at this now. This is our sixth week and it is our last week. At the story of the prodigal son, I call it the wasted life. We've looked so far at the three main characters in the story. We started off with the prodigal. He had good and bad. He made bad decisions based on selfishness and what he wanted. But then he came around, and the good part was he came to his senses finally before it was completely too late. Then we spent a couple weeks looking at the brother. The brother had good in that he was right in his actions and his relationship with his father, but he was bad in his attitude towards his brother and what his brother went through. And then last week we looked at the father, who's a picture of our heavenly father, and we saw that he only had good in what he wanted for both of his sons. As we finish up, I want you to notice the three main players in the story: the prodigal, his brother, and his father. But this week, I want to look at it from a slightly different angle. As I was reading through the story, and really, it was 5 weeks, and as I was reading through it, another thought came to me that I noticed in the story, and I wanted to go over it. I want you to notice the parties that were thrown in this story. Not the kind of party you go to, Raul. Christian parties, my friend. If you look at the story, there actually are three parties here. All three parties are related to each member in the story: the prodigal, the father, and the brother. People like parties. Some people do. Not the kind of party some of you were at last night. Parties symbolize enjoying life, experiencing the best of life. We did mention last week that one of God's desires is for us to have joy in our life. But when you look at the parties, these parties represent how each chose to live their life or how they looked on their life and how they would choose to live it. They represent three options which all of us in this room have as to how we're going to live our life. What are we desiring? What are we going for? When I was a teenager and I didn't go to Christian school in the high school, Brother Lucero probably knows, Friday, what was the question everybody asked? Where's the party? Where's the party tonight, bro? That's what everybody wanted to know. My question to you is this: which party are you going to attend? You have three options here. So let's look at the parties and give you a brief description in the few minutes that we have. And I want you to think about it, because the party you choose is really going to be the life that you live. And so let's look at it. I want you to see, first of all, I want you to see the prodigal's party. We would call that the worldly party. We already described the brother earlier. He lived a selfish life. He made bad decisions in his life. And ultimately, he paid for it. Now, his decisions were based on his selfishness. He wanted to live his life by what he thought would bring him pleasure. Isn't that what people want? You know, I hear people use a phrase sometimes. I'm not really a fan of it, but I get it. You know, I'm just living the life. Well, what does that mean? I mean, I assume all of you are living your life if you're breathing, okay? But you know, I'm just living the party life, the good life, doing my own thing. Okay, that's fine. But most people are living for pleasure. And let me say this, and we'll get, don't take it too wrong, but just living a life for pleasure is not a Christian virtue. Now, before you take the opposite approach, let me get to party two and you'll understand that I'm not being a prude here. But living just, oh, I'm just living for pleasure, man. Whatever feels good, do it. It's not a Christian virtue. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, it says this: "This know also, in the last day perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of them own selves." Now that's where it all starts, a love of self. "Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent," means no self-control, "fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded." And then the last phrase is this: "lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." The key word in that phrase is more. There's nothing wrong with a little enjoyment of life, okay? God didn't create us to be hermits. We don't believe that if you're going to be serving God, you're a hermit, and you go live in a cave somewhere like a monk, okay? That's not what God's talking about. The problem is we put the pursuit of pleasure, we put the love of pleasure over our love of God. That's where it's bad. Our whole life is around pleasure. Fact is, look, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but if you serve Jesus, life ought to be good. I think the best life you could ever live is just serve God. That's where joy is found. The problem, though, is we place pleasure as our primary pursuit. And then when we place pleasure as our primary pursuit, what happens is we go about finding it the wrong way, because what we think is pleasure is not really pleasure, and we're disobeying God's word, and we get ourselves into a multitude of problems. It is wrong when we place personal pleasure over our love and responsibility to God. And by the way, people do that with just their responsibilities in life. Well, I just feel like doing this. I just feel like doing that. And they don't do the things they're supposed to be doing. They don't fulfill their responsibilities. And we spent a little bit of the time already, so we won't go back. When we think the only place pleasure can be found is outside of God, that's where the problem begins. Because real pleasure is found inside of that relationship with God. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11 says this: "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy," speaking of God, "in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." But we buy into the wrong philosophy, and we have this wrong. And when I say worldly, it's the philosophies. We buy the wrong philosophies of the world, and we think we have to do this, this, and this to find pleasure, when God says it's found in his presence. What are some of the characteristics of this party? Let me briefly mention them. We have a lot to get through today. First of all, you get what you want. The son went to the father and said, give me. See, we think pleasure and joy and the life we're really looking for is found when we get everything that we want. And that's not true. If that's our philosophy, anything that resembles restrictions must be avoided because it interferes with what I want to do. By the way, let me just say this. Life is full of restrictions. Life, and by the way, restrictions aren't bad if they're keeping us from things that would ultimately take that joy away from us. See, we stay, you know, if I did, I want to do all that. No, they're keeping you in the place where joy is found, and they're keeping you away from the place where joy is not found. We do what we want. We think if we get everything what we want, we'll be fine. Most people avoid the Bible. Look, you ever see someone that, I don't want to read, I don't want to go to church, and I don't believe the, you know why? Because they understand in that Bible are some things they're not going to like because it interferes with what they feel they want to do. It'll keep me from finding what I want when the fact of the matter inside that book is everything you'll ever want. By the way, just avoiding it doesn't help. Well, you know, I'm not responsible because I didn't know it. No, ignorance of the law is no excuse. Go break some law you don't know about and try that excuse. You get pulled over for a ticket. I got pulled over for a ticket one time. I didn't have mud flaps on my truck. Some guy in my singles class wrecked his car, and he had these really big rims with these nice tires. So I'll put those on my truck. So I had these huge, tires, and they're outside of my truck. And the police officer said, you know you're supposed to have mud flaps? I'm like, no. I mean, come on, it's a Nissan. It's a little Nissan. What do you mean? He goes, yep. He goes, you didn't know that? I said, no. You know what he said? Sign here. He didn't say, oh, well, you don't know. Okay, no problem. He said, that's fine. Get him on there. Sign the ticket. Get it fixed. Now, the ignorance of the law was no excuse. We're responsible for God's law. We're responsible to know it because it's helpful and it'll get us to where God wants us to be. So the selfish party, the worldly party, we do what we want. Next, you go where you want. You go where you want. See, he said, give me. Here's what I want. And then he took off and took his journey. We're not bound by the duties and responsibilities of life. In its worst form, these are the guy that doesn't want to get a job, doesn't want to work. I just want to kind of do my own thing. By the way, it bothers me, and I'm not trying to be mean here, but to see some guy 35, 40 years old when he ought to be at work riding around on a bike, doing nothing. Go get a job. Oh, that's not fun. Responsibilities of life are responsibilities of life. Okay? I just don't want these restrictions. By the way, in our society, it's everywhere. It's in families. It's all over the place. It's the guy who sees marriage and having a family as something that ties him down. By the way, mister, if you don't want to have a family, then don't have children. Don't get married. See, you want to go live with some girl. You want the benefits, but you don't want to fulfill the responsibilities. By the way, stay away. If I was a lady, don't get hooked up with a guy like that. Say, well, what should I look for if I'm single looking for a guy? Find someone that can have a job. Yeah. Oh, but yeah, job. Gets up and goes to work. By the way, he'll come home. Okay? Anyhow, that was free. Throw that at you. See, we would rather sit at home all day, eat bonbons, and watch Oprah and Dr. Phil. Look, I'm all for bonbons. I'm not for Oprah and Dr. Phil, okay? But bonbons. But it's like, come on, man. It's time to get to work. Go get to work. Anyhow. So you go where you want. You do what you want. He wasted his substance with riotous living. No one's going to tell me what to do. We spend what we want. But when he had spent all, he had no restrictions. He had no governors on how he used the resources his father gave him. He used them irresponsibly. He did what he wanted to do. By the way, that's a self-control issue. Well, you know, it's my life and I'll do what I want. I'll spend it the way I want. By the way, you have a right to do that. Now, I'm not saying just because you have that right doesn't mean that it is right. Because according to God, we're supposed to follow His will for our life. We spend what we want. And let me say this. You don't receive what you want. He began to be in want. I mean, he had this plan. Dad, I want my money. I'm moving away. I'm going to live the way I want. I'm going to party with my friends. I'm going to do all this stuff. And then the end of the story was he's in the pig pen. Didn't turn out the way he wanted. See, you can choose, we all of us can choose to live the life we want, to do the things we want, whether God says it's right or wrong. We have the right to do that. But you don't have a right to choose how it turns out. Because, again, there are built-in things in the Bible that help us, and that's what God's trying to do for us. This party, if we follow these things, far from making us full and content, it leaves us empty and hollow, wanting something more, something different. And the sad part of it is we've spent all this time in our life, and at the end of all those years where it's like, this isn't what I want. There's got to be more to life than this. There is. And that's party number two. That's the Father's party. I call that the heavenly party. You see, the Father's party is based on what really will bring us joy, lasting joy. Not the first party. And by the way, the first party does bring some. It's like in Hebrews. We read in our Sunday school class this morning. The pleasure, Moses didn't choose to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You see, the Bible's brutally honest. If we do go against God and we do sin and do the things that God tells us not to do, there is joy in it, but just for a little time. But there is a payoff as the prodigal found. But the Father's joy is a lasting joy. Of the three parties I'm going to mention, this is the only one that was not thrown by those. In other words, the prodigal had to throw his own party. That didn't turn out very well. His brother throws his own party, and we're going to see that doesn't turn out well. The father threw the party for the son. That turned out good. Yeah. Whenever we try to throw our own party, we try to do our own thing, it doesn't work. The father has a party for us that's far better than any party we could ever throw. Amen. It's a heavenly party. We want joy, and we think it's wrapped up in pleasure apart from God, and God's telling us, no, it's not. God wants us to have true lasting joy, but it's found at His party. Where is it found? It's found in what God provides for us. When He came back, the Father said, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. God saw when the brother came, when he came back, he had just been working in a pig pen. He was broke. He had spent all of his money. He probably didn't look good. He probably had tattered clothes. He was probably dirty. And I dead for sure know that he didn't smell very good. And the father said, you know what he needs? He needs to be dressed. He needs to realize he's still my son. And so I'm going to give him right now what he really needs. God always gives us what we really need. He clothes us with the things that we need. The problem with seeking on our own for what we want is that we really don't know how to find it. And the fact of the matter is, we really don't know what we need. We think we do. It's like the man who, he climbs a ladder of success, and I've got to the top of the ladder, and he gets there, and he realized the ladder was leaning against the wrong wall. What I thought would be at the top of the ladder of success, it's not here. It's like following our own path, and this path is going to take me to where I want to be, and we realize way too late it's a dead end. We're just trying to, it's like we're trying to figure it out, and we just can't. Apart from God. When Joseph and Jennifer had their baby, I went to the hospital to visit. I went to the hospital to visit the baby, Jennifer. And so I go there, and they have the front desk to find out what room you're in, and they had these ladies that were volunteering. And they were older ladies, very, very old. They're volunteers. And I said, you know, I'm here to see Jennifer Esposito. And you could tell they did not know how to use the computer very well. And so I noticed the lady grabs the mouse and she's trying to look on the computer and she's like, this thing's not working. And I looked, she had the mouse upside down. Now I shouldn't have done it, pray for me. I thought, I'm gonna see how long this goes. So she's over here, and she's like, man, this thing's all crazy. It's not going the right direction. What's wrong with it? And her other friend comes over. Let me see it. I've never had that trouble. And she's over here like, man, this thing just doesn't work. And I'm like, after a few minutes, I thought, I got to get going here. I said, oh, look at the buttons. It's upside down. Oh, it works. She's in room 426. Thank you. Okay. Man, they know what they wanted to do, but it wasn't working. That wasn't working for them. That's how we are in our life. We think we know what we need, and God says, no, you don't know what you need. You don't even know what you're doing. I know what you need. Whatever is missing in your life, whatever you really need, God gives. And it may not be in the material things. Now, thank the Lord, if you were one of God's children, he'll make sure you're taken care of. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. But can I just tell you something? God knows what brings you joy. It's in what God provides for us. It's also in what God produces in us. And bring thither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat. Why? And be merry. You see, God does want you to have joy in your life. God doesn't want us to be miserable. Now, again, when we think about that, we think, oh, good, is he going to throw money at me and all these things and all that? No. God will give you the stuff that brings real joy. God will bring you the stuff that's lasting. God wants us to be joyful. Now, I've met some Christians, and it's almost like, I don't think they think God wants us to be joyful. I mean, they make serving God to seem like drudgery. Like, well, you know, pray for us. World's coming to an end, and it's coming to an end someday. We're just gonna trudge on. You trudge on in the dirt. I'm gonna find what God has for me, and I'm gonna go for it. Philippians 3:1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice evermore. 1 Peter 4:13, but rejoice in so much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding glad joy. Even when hard times come, Peter says, God uses that to produce joy in our life. If you realized the life you really want is found in obedience to God, you'd follow him with all your heart. But that's a faith issue. Because you have all these bombarding thoughts coming your way that say that's not how it works. When the Bible makes it very clear, that's exactly how it works. And it's in what God promises us. He says, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. You know what God promises to us? A relationship with him. And as we read earlier in Psalm chapter 16, that's where joy is found. You see, you can be like the prodigal and you can do your own thing. Follow your own path. Live the selfish life. Pursue that which you think will bring you joy and happiness and pleasure, and it won't. Or you can stop right now and say, I'm going to follow God, because that's where joy is found. That's what God wants for us. And then let's look briefly at the last party, the brother. He had a pity party. This was another self-thrown party. No one says, hey, you know what? Let's throw a surprise pity party for Brother Pineda. You don't need to. He's already there, okay? The younger brother did the wrong things. That's why he had a bad party. The younger brother believed the wrong things. That's why he had a bad party. You see, his spirit was awful. Now, he was a son. He was responsible. He did the things he was supposed to do, but he just didn't have a good spirit about it. He believed wrong. Have you ever met somebody? I've met many people like this in life. And I almost believe that their whole goal in life is just to be miserable and make everybody else miserable. Don't raise your hand, but raise your heart. How many of you know someone like that? It's like, brother, if you were to smile, your face would break in half. It's like life isn't that bad, especially if you know the Father. There's people that can make anything look bad. I remember there was a lady one time, we were talking, and I was trying to get away from her. She was just slamming her husband. Man, he did this, and he did this, and he's doing this, and he's a bad. I thought, man, I got to get off of this conversation. So I wanted to change the conversation. I said, hey, by the way, how's your mom doing? Good. She's mad at him, too. That's just like, seriously? I'm like, man, I just got to grab a parachute and run. Pity party. We see everything from a negative spin. You know, look. I got a cup in my office. It's a joke. It has a line, and it says this, and it's a clear coffee cup, and it has a line in the middle, and it says this cup is now half empty. Why doesn't it say this cup is now half full? What kind of person are you? Half empty, half full. Now, I'll be honest with you. I have a tendency to be a half empty person. When I coach our sports teams, our basketball team could win by 20, and I wasn't happy. Brother, you guys didn't do this right. You didn't do that right. This is ridiculous. I have to kind of, you know, the boys are playing football and they'll win. You know, hey, we won 40-0. It's like, yeah, but Jack, you didn't do this. You didn't do that. Come on, man. I have to kind of like, hey, no, that was good. You threw 4 touchdown passes. But, man, you didn't get that 5 yards. My wife, I probably shouldn't say this about her, but she'll get over it. She was looking at the kids' grades, and she was going over it, you know, assignments that they didn't do right or whatever. And she was looking at all the classes, and she pulled out one. She goes, now look at this class right here. Now, you got an A-plus in this class, but your last quiz was only 75. She's like, brother, I got an A-plus in the class. Give me some slack on one quiz. But isn't that how we are? And I have to fight to make sure I just don't see the negative. God doesn't want us to be like that. There was a lot of good that should have been going on here because his brother came back. But you know, he didn't see life that way. He wanted to be miserable. He wouldn't go into the party. It says he was angry. He wouldn't go in. By the way, if you are kind of a sour, if you're just kind of like, well, you know, I'm like this because life made me like this. No, it's because you're choosing to stay outside the party. Well, you know, I'm outside here because, you know, you gave my brother a party and, you know, all these things he did and you're just going to accept him back. And it's like, no, you're outside of the party because you choose to be outside the party. You choose to look at the few negatives and not look at all the positives. And sometimes as Christians, that's how we live our life. There's a lot of positives in serving God. He wouldn't be helped. His father came, therefore came his father out and entreated him. His father's coming out, and it's like he's trying to make things better and try to, hey, let's get this together and come on, your brother's back. Come on to the party, man. This would be great. Let's do this. And he wouldn't listen. He wouldn't listen. By the way, a person that won't listen to anybody or anything or even God, you're doomed for a pity party. It's like I just want to be here and I'm staying here. Why? Good night. They killed the fatted calf. The barbecue's on. Let's go. I mean, come on. You have to be able to smell the food. Years ago, Pastor said he invited a guy here. And the guy came in the church, and Pastor Esposito had invited him. And the guy came in, and then that Tuesday, Pastor Esposito went to visit him. And like, how'd you like the church? He goes, I hated it. And he goes, why? He goes, everybody was so happy, and that just bothered me. Now, I don't know the guy, and I'm not judging him, but maybe he was standing outside the party instead of saying, what is going on in there that's bringing joy? I want to get in on this. See, what happens, we come to Christianity, it's like, man, this is what you got to do. You got to serve God. Come on, just do it. And it's like, well, you know, just, I don't want to. Let's go. Get in. Open the door. Don't stay outside. Another reason he had a pity party, he wouldn't look forward. And he answering his father said, lo, many years I served thee, neither cranced I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid. See, he couldn't look forward to say, my brother's back. Man, we missed him. We were concerned about him. We were wondering if he was dead, and man, he's back. He's like, what about me? See, don't let the past tie you down. Don't let something bad happen to my past, or I have these issues in my past, and I just keep, let them go. Don't be anchored to something that's going to keep you down here when you ought to be over here. Amen. And by the way, sometimes horrific things happen in someone's past. And I'm not saying that those things shouldn't be dealt with, but let me say this, don't let them hold you back. Don't spend your whole life thinking about it and what it did to me. Listen, get up and go forward. Yes, something bad may happen, but you know what? I've got X numbers of years here that I can get away from that party and I can step into this party. Don't be chained. And then the last thing is this, and this holds people back more than anything. He wouldn't forgive. But as soon as this, thy son, this is his brother, wouldn't even mention him. Your son, you know, like when you come home and the kids are bad, your children got demerits. Your children got suspended. Well, aren't they your kids too? They're your kids when they get A+. They're my kids when they get suspended. This is brother. He wouldn't forgive him. I'll show you. You want to go? Wait, by the way, he didn't need to condemn his brother. His brother was back in the family, and that was good, but his brother still did waste his inheritance. And by the next day when they all went to work, guess who was in charge? The older brother. Man, I'm so glad you're back. Grab that plow. Go do this. Okay? But we don't forgive. By the way, if you don't forgive somebody, you could get bitter. And bitterness doesn't just stay with one person, because it becomes who you are, and it can affect and poison your other relationships. Listen, life's too short to live it in the pity party. We have three choices today. Every one of us, if a party represents how we live our life, what we're going for, all of us have a party to attend. Which party are you going to attend? You going to go like the prodigal and do your own thing and end up in the pig pen? You going to be like the brother, well, I do the right things. I'd never end up in the pig pen. But your attitude and your spirit are horrible and you can't just enjoy what God has for you? Or why don't we let the Father throw us a party? Why don't we realize the joy that comes from having a solid, right relationship with our God? Amen. That's the party I want to go to. Yep. I hope that's where you want to be. Let's all stand today.